Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, that's going to be our text for the message, even though we're going to look at several other passages. But we're continuing our series on relational parasites. Parasites are bloodsuckers, amen? And there's some people that can just suck the life out of you. And that's what we've been looking at, how we can love them with a Christ-like love and honor Christ in the way that we relate to them. There's a curious and little-known verse in Proverbs 30:15. I bet when we read it, you probably have never even paid attention to it. And you likely have never heard a message preached on it. Proverbs 30, verse 15 says, "The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry." I'm sure that was at the top of verses that you have memorized since childhood. Amen. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. And as we said, a leech is a blood-sucking parasite. And the Hebrew word in the original text actually refers to something called a horse leech. And the horse leech has two sets of lips. And that has given it a notorious reputation of having an insatiable appetite and an ability to suck large amounts of blood. Likely, that's the reason that the wisdom writer says that this leech has two daughters. He's referring to the two sets of lips, crying out, "Give, give." You say, "That's all wonderful and interesting, Pastor Maria, but what does that have to do with me and what does it have to do with anything?" Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning, because in this passage, the wisdom writer is speaking about insatiable things and insatiable people that are never satisfied. These things always want more, more, and more. Now, we commonly use the word leech in our vernacular as a metaphor to describe someone who is extremely needy, right? We say that person is a leech. Have you ever heard that or used that phrase? Amen. As believers, we are all called to have compassion, to love, and to help the needy. But we're not talking about just somebody that is in need. We're talking about someone who is an insatiably needy or clingy person, a codependent person. So this is the insatiable codependent. You love them, but no matter how much attention you give them, it never seems to be enough. They're constantly calling. They're constantly wanting your attention. They're constantly consuming all your time. They're constantly asking you to do things or to give them things. There are different types of needy people. There is the insatiably insecure. They continually need assurance that you are there for them. You have to continually tell them that you love them, that you care about them. You have to compliment them. They are insatiably insecure. Then there is the insatiable drama queen or drama king. Yes, there can be drama kings as well. And they always have a crisis and they always need help. Something is always going on in their life. And then there's the insatiable financial leech, who constantly makes bad financial decisions. And often they may even drive a nicer car than you. They always seem to have money to go out and eat, but yet they can't pay their rent or FP&L, and they're always asking you for financial help. None of us knows anybody like that. Don't shout it out or don't look at your neighbor. Amen. But that's the financial leech. That's the financial. Don't answer out loud, but do you know anybody that fits any of these categories? Second question. Are you somebody that fits any of these categories? I would venture to say that in every family, every church, or any group, there is at least one needy person. One person like what we've described. I know I've got one in my family. Amen. No names mentioned, because this is being broadcast online. Amen. But we're talking talking about relational parasites that can suck the joy and the life out of you. Now, in the past two messages, we looked at the controlling person, and last week we looked at the critical person. If you missed either of those messages, I encourage you to go to our website, click the messages tab, and you can get to the archived messages, or go on our YouTube channel and go back and listen to those messages. They're powerful. I believe they will help you in dealing with these types of relational issues. But today we're going to be looking at the insatiably needy person, the clingy person who constantly, like the horse leech in Proverbs 30:15, says, give me your time, give me your attention, give me your money. They're constantly saying, give, but it's never enough. How can we love somebody like this? How can we love someone who is insatiably needy? And it's complicated, because as Christians, we truly care and we want to help, but with people like this, it never seems enough. And helping someone like this could actually be hurting them. It can hurt us, and it most definitely can hurt the relationship. So how do we love the insatiably needy person in a way that helps rather than harms? And that's what we're going to look at today. Principle number one, offer help discerningly. Offer help discerningly. Discernment speaks of having good judgment, good understanding, using wisdom. So how do we offer help discerningly or wisely? Discerning giving gives what is needed, not what is wanted. I want to say that again. Discerning giving gives what is needed, not what is wanted. See, most of the time we respond to a person's need emotionally. We see a need, we feel compassion, and we do the quickest, easiest thing we can to help them so that we feel better. We don't feel guilty. But while it may bring momentary help, is it really helpful to them long term? Now, in Acts 3, there's an amazing story of the healing of a man who was lame for many years, and he sat outside the temple in Jerusalem daily begging for virtually his whole life. He was perpetually in need. And Acts 3:3 says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he reached out his hands and he asked them for some money. In fact, he asked everybody that passed by for money every day for virtually his entire life. Verse 5 says, he looked at them eagerly expecting to receive some money. Because needy people expect you to help every time they ask. He knew the secret. He knew the secret that all needy people know. If you ask persistently and consistently, you will eventually get someone to respond emotionally. To respond because they feel guilty, to respond because they have a compassionate heart. You will get somebody to respond emotionally and give you what you want eventually. And we all know people like that. This guy had learned to rely on others for everything. He relied on others to carry him to the temple gate so that he could beg. And he relied on the people coming to worship to feel bad for him, so that they would give him money. He relied on people to be moved emotionally, to feel guilty, and to give him what he needed. And we often help out of emotion, not out of wisdom. We do what is easiest to make ourselves feel better, and not really asking, is this what is best for this person? But Peter and John responded discerningly, led by the Spirit. They gave the man what he needed, not what he asked for. If they had given him what he wanted, money, it would have provided maybe temporary relief, but he would have been out there tomorrow or an hour from then asking for more money, right? In verse 6, Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. What Peter and John gave him is what he really needed, not what he wanted. He needed Jesus to touch and change his life permanently. Now, before we help someone emotionally, offering them temporary relief, that really harms them by reinforcing their dependency on others, we need to prayerfully ask, God, what do you want me to do for them? What is best for them long term? Just throw out a scenario to you. We often see people begging on the street corner, right?
Yes.
And oftentimes, not all the time, oftentimes, they may have some type of addiction, or they may be an alcoholic, and they're there with a sign saying, give me money for food. So out of the compassion of your heart, you take out $5 or $10 or whatever you give, and do they use that money for food, or do they use it for alcohol and drugs? You know, I've seen this over and over again. I remember distinctly several years ago, a gentleman that he knew, like this man sitting at the temple gate, he knew that sitting outside the church, he would find people with a compassionate heart. So he would station himself there every Sunday and ask people. And out of the goodness of their heart, they would give him money. And then he would go right around the corner. It's now called Puritas, but it used to be a pub, a bar. And he would be over there. You would see his bicycle parked out front, and he would be in the bar taking the money that he had collected on Sunday morning from good-hearted church people. And instead of getting the food that he would say he hadn't eaten in 36 hours or whatever, he would go and buy alcohol. Now, I'm not saying all of them do that, but I'm saying when you give in a situation like that, you are just enabling the person to continue their harmful behavior. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm just using that as an illustration. So that's why it's better, as some suggest, that you might carry a little snack pack of some lasting snacks or what have you, and some toiletries, and somebody's begging, and you give them that because it has some food in it, it has some nutrition, and it has some things that rather than handing them money. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. There was a dear lady who was a member of our church going back now that I think about it, almost 30 years. Our church is about 30 years old, and she came shortly after we'd first started. And she had a son who was a cocaine addict. And every time he got in trouble, she bailed him out. She bailed him out. Every time he got arrested, she bailed him out of jail. Every time he got in a financial problem, she paid his rent, she paid his vehicle, whatever it was. And one day she came to me very frustrated and heartbroken. She asked me, what should she do? Because he was getting worse. His addiction was getting worse. He even started stealing in order to pay for his addiction. And she was at her wit's end. And I told her, this might sound hard, but the best thing you can do is stop helping him. Cut off your help, because your help is enabling him. She looked at me like I had just killed Bambi in front of her eyes. But she told me even her other two sons had told her the very same thing. But she said, I can't do that. I love him and he needs me. See, it made her feel good to be needed and to help him. But she didn't realize that her help was really hurting her son, enabling his addiction. We need to stop helping emotionally and seek to help discerningly. Seek God's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom. And we need to extend a hand up, not a handout. In verse 7, it says, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. The man wanted a handout, but Peter gave him a hand up. And it says, as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed. So rather than giving a handout, Peter offered him a supernatural hand up, and it changed his life. He no longer had to sit at the temple gate begging. He no longer had to depend on other people. He could now stand on his own two feet. Now, let me tell you something. It may take more faith, more prayer, more time, and more effort to give discerningly, to help somebody up rather than to help somebody out so that they can stand on their own two feet. But we need to be committed to doing what is better for them long term, not what is quickest and easiest in the moment, not what they're asking for. So when we're dealing with the insatiably needy person, we need to pray, God, show me what you want me to do and show me what not to do. God may want to do another miracle through you, like he did a miracle through Peter. He may want you to do nothing. and turn the person over to his hands. He may want you to offer a different kind of help than what the person is asking for. They're asking for money. You may say, let me help you find a job. Hallelujah. Amen. Or let me help you to get into school so you can learn a trade or a profession. Or he may ask you to offer some other strategic act that will help them to stand up on their own two feet and not perpetuate their dependency, their neediness. But be prepared, because when you offer what they're not asking for, they're going to try to guilt you into giving them what they want, saying, if you're really a Christian, or if you really loved me, you would give me the money I'm asking for. But instead, you're telling me, I'll help you find a job. Or they may say, if you really loved me, you would spend time with me, or you would give me the attention I'm demanding. But you say, I want to help you learn who you are in Christ so that you can find wholeness in him and you won't have to depend on somebody else for your self-esteem or self-worth. They may say, if you really were a Christian or you really loved me, you would bail me out of my mess. But you say, let me help teach you how to make better decisions in your life so you don't make a mess.
Right.
Amen. Love them enough to give them what they need, not what they want. And we need to restrain our emotions and pray for God to help us to know what he wants us to do and to give us the courage and grace to lovingly and firmly say what they need to hear, not that what they want to hear. Years ago, we had a guy in our church. Actually, he's the son of the lady I just told you about, the guy that was a cocaine addict, all right? He repeatedly would call me saying, pray for me, Pastor, I'm about to get high. And the first several times that he called me, I would pray for him. But it kept happening over and over again. The last time he called me, he said, pray for me, Pastor, I'm in a coke house, I'm about to buy cocaine and get high. And I said, stop right there. I said, you need to start taking responsibility for your own life. I said, you need to turn around and get out of there and call on Jesus for yourself. Oh, he got so upset at me. He told me off. He came to church and started telling everybody, Pastor refused to pray for me. But shortly after that, he hit bottom, which is what needed to happen. Because when they hit bottom is when they begin to make a turnaround. So he hit bottom, and as a result, we were able to help him get into a Christian drug rehab program called Teen Mission. And his life began to turn around. And he came back about a year later after being in this ministry. And I remember he sat right there where this gentleman and the baby is. And it was a Wednesday night, and we were having a testimony time where people could share, you know, what God was doing in their life. And his hand went up. And when his hand went up, my heart went down. Because I knew how he had left before telling everybody I refused to pray for him. I'm like, what on earth does he want to say now? But I called on him, and this is how he started his testimony. He said, several years ago, yeah, blah, 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 I was addicted to cocaine, et cetera, et cetera. And I was calling Pastor Maria. She was praying for me. And the last time I called her, she said, I'm not going to pray for you. And as he said that, I gulped. I was like, oh, God, why did I call on him? But then he said, that is the best thing that she could have ever done for me. He said, because that was the turning point in my life. Folks, sometimes the best thing we can do for somebody is not allow them to be codependent on us, not allow them to cling to us, because what they need is not us. What they need is Jesus. Amen. When we're dealing with an insatiably needy person, we need to stop helping them emotionally and help them discerningly with the wisdom of God. Pray and seek for God to give you wisdom. Second principle, establish healthy boundaries. See, insatiably needy people, they don't know boundaries. They expect to call you and demand of you, and you're going to be there 24/7. Okay? Healthy boundaries are wise, not selfish. You've got to learn to say no. Let's all practice it on the count of three. I want us to say no. One, two, three. No. Wonderful. You all get an A plus. Hallelujah. We need to learn how to say no. I love you, but I can't help you. Hallelujah. There's wisdom to that. Jesus loved people selflessly. He gave of himself generously, but he also knew the importance of healthy boundaries. What am I talking about? If you read in Mark 1, 35 through 37, very early in the morning, it says, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Basically, why are you here? Why are you hiding? Don't you know there's a line of people out there waiting for you? They're looking for you. They have needs. They need healing. They need deliverance. Come. And Jesus' response was, no. God's will is that I go to the next town. Whew. Jesus said no to people's needs. You see, the day before, Jesus had ministered to crowds late into the evening, healing all of their sick, delivering those that were oppressed. So very early, he gets up to go to a private place and pray. And the disciples find him there, and they're like, what are you doing? Are you loafing off or something? Don't you know there's a lot of need still out there? But Jesus understood the importance of boundaries. He understood the importance of pulling away. He understood the importance of reconnecting with the Father and replenishing himself spiritually. And you see this over and over again in Jesus's life. He would give and give, pouring himself out in ministry, and then he would pull away to be alone with the Father. He knew that if you're running on empty, you have nothing to give. So taking time for yourself, especially to get into God's presence, is how we get recharged spiritually and emotionally. It's how we get refilled so we can be poured out again. Some people will take as much as you give until they drain you dry if you don't set boundaries. I hear some amen, so sounds like y'all have some experience in this area. Amen. Folks, there will always be needs. There will always be expectations of others. There'll always be somebody looking for you with some problem or some need. And this is especially true in our overconnected world when people can reach you 24/7. Even your job can reach you 24/7. They can reach you by phone. They can reach you by text. They can reach you by email. They can reach you by social media. There's no place to hide. And they expect you to be available all the time. And you just physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you just can't be. You just can't be. You need to recognize your limitations and your need to disconnect and your need to reconnect with God and yourself and your family and take care of your health mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Set boundaries. Boundaries also help build better relationships. Boundaries are healthier for you because sometimes our lack of boundaries come from our own insecurities and our need to be needed. Our own need to be needed, which is not healthy. We need to pray and ask God to show us any areas of brokenness in our life that is feeding our need to be needed so that we make ourselves available 24/7 till we're drained. And we'll actually hinder the people in our life by not knowing when to say no, because we are helping make them codependent. We're helping to encourage their dependency on us rather than encouraging their dependency on the Lord. In addition, not having boundaries is unhealthy for your relationships. As you get worn out, you will eventually become frustrated, resentful, and bitter. And that's going to come into your relationship, and it's going to destroy your relationship. So set boundaries on your time and on your resources. It is healthy for you, for the ones you love, and for your relationships. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Do you remember the announcement that comes on at the beginning, the safety announcement that comes on at the beginning? It teaches us an important spiritual principle, actually, that we've been talking about. It says, in the case of emergency, should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please take the mask and place it over your own nose and mouth before assisting others.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Come on now.
Go ahead, Pastor.
If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help anybody else. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others as you love yourself. And loving yourself entails taking care of yourself, and that requires healthy boundaries. When you have healthy boundaries, then you can much better love other people in a healthy way. Amen? Somebody say amen, because this message is practical and it's relevant and we need to hear it. Amen. Third principle, leave them in God's hands. There is one God, and you are not Him. Hello? Love enough to let go. You are not anyone's savior. We need to love enough to release the needy person into God's hands and trust that He will do what's best for them. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told? There was a man on his way apparently into Jerusalem who got beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road. And a Samaritan man passing by had compassion on him. And he bandaged up the man's wounds. He put him on his donkey. He takes him to a hotel. He pays for his room and says, if there's anything extra he needs, put it on my bill. I'll pay it the next time through. And then what does he do? He leaves. Jesus didn't tell us where he went or why he left, only that he left. But in all probability, he either went back to his own family or he was on a business trip and he went to work, because after all, it was his work that was paying to help this man. So he left the needy man and he returned to his life. What does that teach us? That yes, we can have compassion on people, and yes, we need to help people, but there needs to be a time where we leave them in God's hands. We leave them in God's hands. We need to let go. Sometimes because we won't let go, we actually hinder what God is wanting to do in their life. Like that mother that kept bailing her son out, her cocaine addicted son, she kept bailing him out. She was hindering what God wanted to do in his life, because he needed to hit rock bottom to want to turn around. So sometimes our persistent help, when we don't know how to draw the line and leave them in God's hand, can actually hinder God working in their life. We need to love enough to let our loved one suffer the consequences of their actions. Jesus told a story about a young man who demanded his inheritance from his father, which is a real slap in the face to his father, because inheritances are collected after a person dies. But he was basically, I want my inheritance now. You're as good as dead to me. I want nothing to do with you. Give me what's mine. And the father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible says in Luke 15 that as long as this young man had money, he had friends and he was having parties and he was having a grand old time. But when he ran out of money, his friends ran out on him. And now he finds himself all alone, and a terrible famine hits the land and things get really hard for him, and nobody would help him, the Bible says. There was nobody to help him. He ended up having to take a job feeding pigs, which he was Jewish, and a pig is an unclean animal. So this is just about as low as you can go. Not to mention the fact, have you ever seen pigs in a pigsty? Wallowing in the nasty mud. Can you imagine? And then he was so hungry, he was eating the leftovers of the pig's food. That's how bad it got. Finally, He hit bottom.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And the Bible says, there in the pigsty, he came to his senses.
Go ahead, Pastor.
See, sometimes it takes for people hitting bottom to come to their senses. He came to his senses and he said, man, life was so much better in my father's house. I know I don't deserve it, and he may not take me back, but I'm going to return to my father's house, because even the servants in my father's house have it better than me right now.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And you know what? This father loved his son enough to let him go. Did you notice that? When he said, I want my money and I want to leave this place. I want nothing to. The father didn't say, oh, please, please. The father didn't try to hold on to him. He loved him, but he loved him enough to let him go. And he loved him enough to allow him to suffer the consequences of his choices. There is some people that will not learn any other way than suffering the consequences of their choice. It took him hitting bottom for him to come to his senses and return to his father's house and get back on the right track. I know God is speaking to somebody this morning. I feel it in my spirit right now that God is giving somebody plain wisdom for a situation you're dealing with right now. Receive it and don't resist it is what I sense the Lord saying. Receive it and don't resist it. Now, everybody here has an insatiably needy person somewhere in our life. We need to realize that we aren't anybody's savior. We are not anyone's answer for their life. Jesus is the answer. And we always need to point people beyond ourselves to Jesus. And we can't do that if we're busy playing savior in their life and trying to be the answer to their every need. The most loving thing that we can do is to seek God in prayer for his discernment, for his wisdom of what would be the best thing to do to help them. We need to set healthy boundaries, learn how to say no for our good and for theirs. And we need to love them enough to leave them in God's hands. Say, God, I surrender them to you. Do whatever needs to be done to bring them to their senses and allow them to suffer the consequences of their choice. And trust as you pray for them that God will work in their lives. The truth is that we are all needy, but what we need is God. David recognized this in Psalm 70, verse 5. He said, but as for me, I am poor and needy. He cried out to God, please hurry up to my aid, O God. You are my helper and my savior, O Lord. Do not delay. And that really puts it all in perspective, right? If we are all ourselves needy and our help only comes from God, then we can't think that we are anybody else's savior or anybody else's answer. Amen? Just like we need God, they need God. He is our help. He is the answer to all of our needs. And trusting God to be our help starts with entering into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. You know that story I told about the prodigal son, the one that demanded his inheritance, went into a far country and partied and then came to his senses and went back to his father's house. The father in that story really is a symbol of our heavenly father. He loves us, but he'll allow us to make our choices. He's not going to force us to serve him. He allows us to make our choices and to endure the consequences of those choices. But he is so loving that no matter how big a mess we make of our life, when we turn to him, he receives us with open arms. We have all sinned. And sin breaks our relationship with the Father. And that's the reason that our Heavenly Father sent his own son, Jesus, to give his life on the cross. Jesus was sinless, but he hung on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, so that when we place our faith in him as our Savior and we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize we're headed in the wrong direction And we say, Lord, I don't want to live that way anymore. I've been living my way, not your way. And I turn away from that, and I turn to you in faith. Forgive me. And the moment that we do that, the Bible says we're born again. We're made spiritually alive, and we're brought into relationship with God as our Father and we as His children. And from that moment forth, we can have confidence that He will help us when we call on Him. That's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with Him. And if you're here today, you're not here by accident. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. That's why He brought you here today, so that you could hear the good news that He wants a relationship with you and how you can have a relationship with Him. So if you're here today and you would say, you know what, Pastor, I've never repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus, but I want a relationship with Him. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. If that's you this morning, or maybe several years ago, you prayed and asked Jesus in your heart, but you've drifted away and you can feel the Lord tugging at your heart to come back, then I want to ask you to pray a simple prayer with me. Not that my words are special, but I just want to help you to know how to pray. And as you pray this prayer sincerely from your heart, God is going to do exactly what you ask Him to do. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I turn to You in faith, and I ask You to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to be the first one to say congratulations. You just made the best decision of your life. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. Amen, amen, amen. We welcome you. We welcome those that prayed that prayer online as well. If you're in-house and you just prayed that prayer, would you just text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet that will help you understand the prayer that you just prayed. That prayer was a beginning, not an end. It's the beginning of a relationship with God. So we want to help you to understand what you just did and also how you can move forward in your relationship with God, the next steps, so that you can keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. We want to send that to you free of charge. And we just ask you that you would, if you're in-house, text I prayed to the number on the screen. Online, type I prayed in the comments. A little later today, you'll get a response message with a link. Please click on that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can email this electronic booklet to you. And once again, congratulations. We are so happy for you. Welcome to the family. Very brief, I just want to encourage those that just prayed that prayer, along with all of us, to do three things every day to help us grow in our relationship with God. Talk to God every day. And that's what we call prayer. And you talk to God every day, just that. Every good thing in life comes from Him. So we just thank Him every day for the good things in our life. And then we talk to God about whatever is going on in our life that we need help with. Decisions that we're making, problems that we're facing, needs that we have. We talk to God and we ask Him to help. To help us. That's the basic form of prayer, and I encourage you to do that every single day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or on your tablet, and you can read there as often as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. Just read a few verses every day, and before you read, ask God to help you understand what you're reading and how it applies to you. What you don't understand, put it to the side for the moment. When you need to understand it, God will help you to understand it. What you do understand, pray and ask God to help you apply it to your life. And then the third thing, find a local church where you can begin to get connected and find the support and encouragement to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So I encourage you to do those three things every week, every day, and you will begin growing in your relationship with the Lord. At this time, I want to talk to those who have already given your heart to Christ. Do you have an insatiably needy person in your life that you're constantly helping and you're constantly bailing out, it's time to stop helping emotionally. It's time to start praying, God, do you want me to help? Do you not want me to help? And if you want me to help, what help do you want me to offer that I might give them what they need, not what they want? Ask God to help you set healthy boundaries in your life and to say no when you need to. And then leave them in God's hands. Bring that person to God right now in prayer when we pray and say, God, I let go of them. I'm done playing their Savior, and I'm asking you to have your way in their life. I'll step back and allow you to do what only you can do, and I'll allow them to go through whatever consequences of their choices there may be as I pray, trusting you to work in their life. So if you're dealing with a needy person and you want to do what God is calling you to do, just stand to your feet right where you are. Or if you're a needy person, stand to your feet and ask God to help change you. But either of those categories, stand to your feet and let's pray. You talk to God from your own heart. You know what you're dealing with. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these that are standing. And I thank you for the practical wisdom of your word, because it teaches us how to live, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would learn and receive and not resist the principles of your word that we have heard this morning. Father, that we would take them and that we would put them into practice in our life, not only for our own well-being, but for the well-being of that needy person in our life, so that we do not continue hurting them by causing them to depend on us. So, Father, we commit ourselves today, Lord, that we are going to seek your wisdom in how to help or not help, what you want us to do, what you don't want us to do. We pray today that you would help us to say no and to set healthy boundaries. And today, help us to surrender that needy person, no matter how much we love them. Help us to take our hands off of them and release them into your hands, so that you can do what only you can do, Lord God, so that you can change their life. We surrender them to you today. And Father, if we are that needy person, insecure in some way, codependent in some way, making bad decisions in some way, Father, change us. Work in us, Lord God. Do what only you can do in our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this final song of worship.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
For your love, Lord God, a love so sweet, so wonderful, so unconditional. Father, I pray every heart in this place, every heart in the hearing of my voice would experience a fresh assurance of your love, and that we would take the time to sit at your feet and learn of you, Lord God. Father, I pray that even as this service ends, that your word that has been preached and your spirit would continue to work in our lives to accomplish your goodwill and purpose in us. Do not leave us the way that you find us, God. Bless your people. Give them a day of rest and refreshing, Lord God. Bring them safely back to your house this Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to finish this series next week, so you don't want to miss the last message in the series. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. We love you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.